over all the earth. You reign on high, every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again, over every thought, over every word. May my life reflect the beauty of my Lord, 'cause you mean more to me than any earthly thing. So won't you reign in me again, Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again, Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again. So won't you reign in me again. So won't you reign in me again. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away, fly away, fly away, to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, fly away, fly away, I'll fly away, fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away, fly away. In the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away, fly away, fly away. When the shadows of this life has grown, I'll fly away, fly away, fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away, fly away, fly away. I'll fly away, fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away, fly away. Die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away, fly away, fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away, fly away, fly away, to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away, fly away, fly away, I'll fly away, fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away, fly away. In the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away, fly away, fly away.
There's a stirring deep within me. Could it be my time has come?
When I see my gracious Savior face to face, when all is done, is that his voice I am hearing? Come away, my precious one. Is he calling me? Is he calling me? I will rise up, rise up,
then I'll bow down,
and bow down,
lay my,
and lay my crown
at his
precious word.
A stirring deep within me. Could it be my time has come?
when I see my gracious Savior face to face when all is done. Is that his voice I am hearing? Come away, my precious one. Is he calling me? Is he calling me? I will rise up, rise up,
then I'll bow down,
and bow down,
lay my
and lay my crown
at his
wounded feet. I will rise up, rise up,
then I'll bow down.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kings, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me. Battle belongs to the Lord. No weapons that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord, and we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. and we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord.
From all of us, from the elders and the ministers, we are, from our just entire leadership team, we are so excited just to be back here together, worshiping with one another. And it's been a long 7 months, and it is not over with yet. And so I really would appreciate your continued prayers for decisions being made here, for decisions being made for what's going on in the world around us. But it's just good to be back together, isn't it? Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you the outline as to what to expect here today. Same as back in June, I think it was, when we tried getting together, many of the same guidelines in place. Please do not sit in the rows where I put nice pink signs that say, please do not sit in this row. I worked really, really hard on those. And it's hard to put on a sign, please don't sit here, without sounding like a jerk. So I tried to use a fun font and pink paper. So that you understand that I mean this in a loving way. Don't sit here. So here's what our service is going to look like. Obviously, you've been brought in. At the end of service, when we dismiss, we'll have people that will kind of help dismiss you row by row, starting from the back. We're trying to get you out of the building as quickly as possible. No offense. Feel free to meet and talk with each other on the parking lot. But what we are still encouraging, or not encouraging, what we are still requiring is that you keep your mask on. Masks need to be worn from the time you get out of your car to the time you get back in. Just a safety measure. Everybody here hates it. But it's a good idea, and so that's what we're doing. I'm already getting a little bit hot in here. So what we are going to do is we're trying to keep in mind what everybody's concerns might be with things such as singing and being together. And so what we're doing is I'm going to go ahead and start at this point, and you're going to get the sermon first, because I know that's what you're most excited about. We're going to have the sermon first. I'm going to try to keep it a little bit shorter. After the sermon, I will end. I'll kind of have a little bit of an invitation, but not your typical stand and come forward as we sing. We'll end with a prayer, and then Jacob's going to come up, and he's going to run us through, not run us through, but he's going to help us in leading us to observe our communion service. After the communion service is over, we will play one more song over the speakers, and then after that song, we'll have a little bit of singing. But the reason we're doing it that way is that we want to recognize that there may be some here who are excited to be here, comfortable with being here, but still have concerns about us singing together. And the spread of disease that might be a little bit easier to come that way. So we're going to offer that time after the communion service while that song is being played. If you're uncomfortable with being here while we sing, we understand that. And we want to let you know that we're not going to pass any judgment on you whatsoever. We want to encourage you to be comfortable. And if at that point you wish to go ahead and stand up and leave, we're fine with that. We understand that. We understand the concerns. So we're doing that to kind of separate our singing service from our regular service. After we sing, Jacob's going to lead us in about two or three songs. After that, he'll close us with a prayer. That will be the end of the service. So if you leave then, all you're going to miss is the singing and a prayer. So anyway, that's what we're going to look, what it's going to look like. And if you've got any questions, you can figure it out. All right, so let's go ahead and get started with our sermon. Before we do that, I want to go ahead and just lead us in a prayer together. Holy Father, you are a good, good Father. We love you. We long to live in your. We long to be your people and to feel the power of your Spirit working within us. God, we thank you for this community. We thank you for this family that we get to gather with together this morning. Father, we pray that we can be an encouragement to one another, that we can lift each other up during these difficult times. And Father, we pray for the world around us. We pray for our leaders as they're making decisions as to how to continue to work within the hand that we've been dealt here, Father. And we just pray that that you will give our leaders wisdom. We pray that you will give them guidance, that you will just give them the knowledge they need to move us forward. And at the same time, Father, we pray for healing, and we pray for we pray for an answer. We pray, Father, that you will put something within us, within our world, that will help to take care of this and put us back to a place of one public. Father, we thank you for we thank you for this church. God, I thank you for this opportunity to finally get to speak to people and see people looking back at me. God, I thank you for the love that we share for one another. And I pray, Father, that you will just pour more and more love into our hearts. Help us to just be an encouragement to one another. God, we pray that you will send more of your Holy Spirit. Fill this place with your Spirit and with your love. We love you so much, Father, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have been for several weeks, we've been looking at different things. We started off with a series where we were looking at the nature of God in the Old Testament and his steadfast love that endures forever. We took a break from that to spend a few weeks praying over each other and with each other and encouraging that time of prayer. My intention was to come back to that that series on the love of God in the Old Testament, but because of our setup and kind of the time it takes to work through that, we're going to kind of just let that one set for a little while. We ended with Deuteronomy, so we'll just look at the love of God in the Pentateuch and let that set. We're not going to completely go away from it, but rather we're going to kind of focus in a little bit more and try to shorten our time together. So we are going to be looking at the book of Exodus for a while. There's just so much good in the book of Exodus and such an important book for who we are as God's people. And so we're going to be looking at the book of Exodus for a while. And the way we're going to do that is going to be somewhat unique. As we are here together on Sunday mornings, I am going to take a kind of one point from our what we've been studying. And I'm going to make the point from that and try to keep it a little bit condensed so as to not go into all the background details. I'm not going to keep the background details from you. Here's what we're going to do. Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock, we're going to begin having a midweek Bible study. It's not going to be here. It will be a Zoom Bible study that I will be leading and we'll be sending out the... will that work? Does that get past the ladies' class? If we start at 8? Okay. We'll start 8:15-ish, because we don't want to overlap with that. I'm not going to feel bad if you all are tired at that point and don't want to continue on with another class. But we will offer that class at 8 o'clock on Wednesday nights through Zoom, and we will send out an email with the information for that if you'd like to join us. If you don't get our emails, reach out to us, and we'll make sure to get it to you. But we'll have a class together where we are diving deeper into the book of Exodus. And so what we'll do is on Wednesday nights, we'll study a couple of chapters. The following Sunday, the sermon will come from within those chapters, but it won't cover all of that. It'll be one key point within that. So that's what we're going to do. But we are going to go ahead and start this morning with the book of Exodus. Exodus chapters 1 and 2 is kind of where we're taking our time here this morning. You know, maybe within the everything that goes on in our lives, there just comes times when we maybe even ask ourselves, you know, where's God in all of this? Where is God in everything that's going on? And why am I having such a hard time seeing him? You know, maybe at times we think of our relationship with God as kind of those old Where's Waldo books. And within just the, you know, all the chaos, we're looking for just that one little glimpse. Where is God? You know, as we come to the end of Genesis, Joseph has brought his entire family, his brothers, and even his father back to Egypt because of this worldwide famine. Jacob will eventually pass away. But Joseph has brought the entire Israelite nation to live within Egypt. And they're experiencing all the good that Egypt has to offer. Egypt is the place that has prepared for this famine. And now they get to be there as God's chosen people under the undersight of their brother, or under the oversight of their brother, who is in a very high position. And the Israelites are experiencing all the greatness of Egypt. And we get to the end of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 50, and Joseph meets with his brothers, and he says to his brothers, I'm about to die, but God will visit you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So Joseph begins to speak to his brothers and kind of tells them really what's getting ready to take place in the story of the Exodus is what we're going to find out. And so he tells them that there will come a time when they'll no longer be in Egypt. And they'll be going to a different place. They'll be going to a place that was sworn to their forefathers. And they hear this in a time when Egypt is providing all of the great things in their life. We come to Exodus chapter 1. We read in verse 6 and 7, and Joseph died and all his brothers and all that generation. But the people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong. So the land was filled with them. Then look at what we read in verse 8. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. I want you to understand this. Between verses 6 and 7 and verse 8, there's about 350 to 400 years worth of time that passes between those two verses. Between the time of Joseph dying and this new king over Egypt who doesn't know Joseph, there's hundreds of years that pass by. And this new king comes up over Egypt, and we read that he does not know Joseph, and that's a key word, know. This means more than just simply knowing about something, but he doesn't know Joseph, he doesn't have a relationship with Joseph, and Joseph in this setting represents not just Joseph, but all of Joseph's people, all of the Israelites. This king has no relationship with the Israelite people. And so within this time, within this 350 to 400 year time range, the people of Israel who had been living in Egypt under all of these great things that are going on and receiving all the goods of Egypt during the time of famine, now come to this point in verse 9, where the king says to his people, behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. They go from being the people who are getting all of the goods, who are experiencing all the goodness of Egypt. You need to remember this. We oftentimes pit Egypt as this evil place, but at one point in the time of the Israelite people, Egypt was a great place for them. Egypt was a place where they were taken care of, where they were blessed. Egypt was the place that kept them from dying out originally. But now this time passes, and they're experiencing the heavy burdens. They're experiencing the Pharaoh who no longer knows who they are. They're experiencing this guy that's scared of them. And as they're experiencing all this, can't help but wonder if their question in this is, where's God? In all the difficulties that we're facing, where's God in all of this? Where is God? In the book of Exodus, where is God? In these first two chapters, we read about God in Exodus chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, then again in chapter 2, verses 23 and 25. And that's all we read, and there's not much said there about God. That's all we read. And even from the beginning of Exodus chapter 1, the point that we were talking about earlier, to the point of Exodus chapter 1, verse 20, there's another 40 years that passes there. And you've got to wonder a little bit, as the Israelites are living in a land that is tearing them down, as the Israelites are living in a land where they're experiencing hardships and oppression and suffering and slavery, you've got to wonder, did the Israelites think, where is God? You know, we have kind of a unique view of the story of Exodus, because we're from the outside looking in. We have a unique view because we've heard the rest of the story. We have a unique view because we went to our children's classes that quickly jumped to the story of Moses being found and rescued in the Nile River, that quickly jumped to Moses at the burning bush, that quickly jumped to Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt. But have you ever thought about this passage and wondered, where was God in all of this? Because what we come to notice is that in these first two chapters, there's just not much mentioned about God. So we wonder, where is God? And we can ask this question from the outside looking in. And that's kind of what we're going to do on Wednesday night. We'll look at this more from the outside looking in. But what about from the inside? What about from the Hebrew point of view? When they were suffering, when they were oppressed, when they were in slavery, where did they see God? And when we experience times of hardships, when we experience times when we don't know what to expect, when we experience times of what, you know, probably is nothing like what the Israelite people in Egypt were experiencing, but when we experience our own sufferings, where do we see God? Because here's what I've noticed. When living in suffering, it is often very difficult to see God. When facing hardships, it's often very difficult to find God within it. And maybe even within times like we face now, where there's so much uncertainty, and we think this is just not what we're used to. Think about the time we're living in now. You know, we can complain all we want about this pandemic, but the only reason we complain about it is because we're blessed. Blessed more than what we know what to do with. There are people around the world who aren't complaining about this pandemic because it's what they're used to. They're used to living with illness all around them. They're used to living with poor living conditions. They're used to they're used to not being able to get everything that they want in the moment that they want it. And let's just be honest about it. We're not used to that. We are used to having what we want when we want it because we're blessed. And so we come to a time like this with uncertainty, and it becomes difficult for us. And we might begin to wonder, where is God in this? When living in suffering, it's oftentimes difficult to see God. Look at the suffering that the Israelites lived in, because it's nothing. I mean, for us, the things we go through is nothing compared to what they had to go through. Exodus chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. So they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in all kinds of work in the field. In all their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves. They experienced bitter slavery. Exodus 1, verse 16. Pharaoh tells the Hebrew midwives, when you serve as a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birthstone, if it's a son, you shall kill him. But if it's a daughter, she shall live. The midwives are called to kill the sons of the Israelites. And this was probably to be done in secret. This was probably trying to hide it at first, kind of make it look like it was, the baby was born, was stillborn. But the Pharaoh is the one calling this out and putting this upon the Hebrew people. This is what they're dealing with. In chapter 1 and verse 22, when that doesn't work, when his plan doesn't work there, he just goes public with it. And it says, the Pharaoh commanded all the people, every son that is born to the Hebrews, You shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. The Pharaoh is calling for the people to kill every Hebrew boy in the Nile. They are experiencing a leader who is publicly killing them, publicly killing their children. And within this suffering, you might wonder, where did the Hebrews see God in all of this? Or maybe you might even ask the question, did they? Were they able to see God in this? So what did the Israelites do? What did the Israelites do in the midst of all this? Well, they threw in the towel. They gave up. They said, just kill us now. That's actually not at all what they did. In fact, what they did was they leaned into the blessings and the promises and the commands of God. And they actively participated in God's creation purposes. You see, if you'll remember back in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, right after God has created man and woman, it says, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." That was God's creation, a creative purpose, for his people to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth. He blessed them and then told them to do this. He told them, live from this blessing and live within these promises and be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And in the middle of the Israelite suffering, what do we read over and over and over again about what the Israelites are doing? Chapter 1, verse 7, "But the people of Israel were fruitful, and they increased greatly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong, so that the land was filled with them." Chapter 1, verse 12, "But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread about." Chapter 1, verse 20, "And the people multiplied, and they grew very strong." This is what they're doing. They are continually multiplying. They are continually leaning into this promise. In chapter 2, in the middle of this command to kill all of the Hebrew boys, we read a story of a very specific Hebrew boy that is born. And we read the story of the boy that is born in the midst of a command to throw all the boys into the Nile, of his parents who leaned into the blessings and the promises of God and continued to live within his creative purposes. And because of that, we read of a boy who will go on to deliver his people. All because in the middle of their suffering, the people of Israel, rather than giving up, rather than just constantly saying, where is God in all of this? Instead, they leaned into God. And they leaned into his promises. And they leaned into his blessings. And they participated in his mission and his creative purposes. The Israelites were multiplying in just absolutely crazy amounts, to the point that the Pharaoh is getting nervous that they're going to overtake him. I love what one commentator says, Junia Pokrivka. She says, "The exponential growth of the Israelites is evidence of God's past and ongoing faithfulness to his covenant promises to Abraham. Yahweh's faithfulness to Israel's ancestors," she says, "provides the theological anchor through the stories of the Egyptians' diabolic treatment of the Israelites in Egypt." What did the Israelites do? In the midst of their suffering, when they could have easily looked around and said, where is God in this? Rather than complaining, rather than trying to figure out and give up on God, instead, they leaned into God. Instead, they leaned into him. They trusted his promises. They trusted his blessing. They lived from his blessing. And they participated in his creative purposes. And here's the point that I want to make to us. When we have a hard time seeing God, have you ever had a hard time seeing God? Let's be honest. We've all had experiences in our life where in those moments, it's been hard to see where's God in all of this. And when we have a hard time seeing God in our lives, what do? I want to suggest three things from this passage. We lean into his promises. We don't run away from God. We lean into God. And we lean into his promises. We lean into his promises that were given to us in the past. We lean into his promises that are coming true to us in the present. And we lean into his promises of what he offers us in the future. We lean into his promises. We continue to participate in his purposes. We don't give up on his mission. We don't give up on what he's called us to do, but instead we continue to participate in his purposes, both physically. You see, I'm not calling you to be like to be like the Israelites and go have a bunch of babies. Even though there is a multiplication there that he calls of us, but we also lean into we participated in his purposes spiritually. We make disciples. We multiply. We grow. We are fruitful. We make disciples. We live on mission. And we share in the heart and the mission of God. And this is going to be something very important, seeing the heart and the mission of God in Exodus. And that's more of what we'll look at on Wednesday. But we share in his heart and in his mission. And when all else fails, we allow for his faithfulness in our past to be the theological anchor that gets us through the present. We allow for God to be the God he's always been, to be the God who created all of the world, to be the God who brought Noah through the flood, to be the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, to be the God that brought the Israelites into Egypt when they needed to be there, and to be the God who brought them out of Egypt when it was time for them to go. We trust God and his faithfulness. You see, the God of our past is the God of our present. And he will be the God of our future. And so when it's difficult to see God, and we're asking ourselves the question, where is God? Sometimes it's just best to trust that he's there. And to lean in to who he is. Lean into his promises and participate in his mission and his purpose. That's my message for us this morning. Because it is difficult to see God at times. And maybe we're in a time now where it's difficult to see God. Let me just tell you, God is still there. God is still God. When Moses asked for a name from God, Moses' response was, I am who I am. His response is, I am still who I always have been. And the God I always have been is the God I always will be. So let's lean into that God. This morning, we do want to offer some sort of an invitation. That invitation is just this. If you do need prayers, if you need to respond, if you need, if you're wanting to put God on in baptism, I do want to help you with that. We have a very different type of circumstance here. So what I'll do is, I'll make myself available to you. I'll go to the back and we can find a place to meet. But I'm going to offer a prayer. We'll close this time. And then Jacob's going to come up and kind of guide us through our communion service. And like I said, after that, you'll have a time to get up and leave if that's what you want to do. And we completely understand that. And then we'll have some time of singing. But whatever it is that you might need, find me in the back and we'll take care of it. But let's close this time together in prayer. Holy God, you are God, and we are not. And sometimes, God, we try to be God, and we shouldn't be, because we're no good at it. And God, sometimes the reason that we have a hard time seeing you is because we're being busy playing God in our own lives. God, we pray that you will push us off the throne so that you can be the one who sits upon the throne. And God, we pray that in the midst of difficult times, when it's a little bit more difficult to see you, we pray that you will give us the faith to know that you are there. Encourage us, Father, to lean into your promises. Encourage us, Father, to continue to participate in your purpose and in your mission. And Father, help us just to trust that you will be the God that you've always been and always will be. We know that there's no change in you, and that you will ever stop being that God. Father, help us to trust you. Help us to love you. Help us to live for you Connect our hearts to your heart, Father. Fill us with your Spirit and live through us so that the world may see you. God, I thank you once again for this church. I thank you for this body of believers. I thank you for this family. Father, I pray that you will bring us closer and closer together. We love you so much, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. It's so exciting to be able to say good morning and look out and see your eyes. See some smiling eyes, some maybe not so smiling eyes. I'll make sure that they smile by the end of this. No, it's so nice to be able to actually see people rather than just a camera. I think that it just is so good to be back. And I really am just excited to be back with you all. And so... kind of going to let you guys know about communion. First off, if you guys did not receive a communion cup, prepackaged communion cup, please raise your hand now and I'll ask Alex if he can deliver them to you. So we've got two. Is that everybody? Okay. So we've got two up front here, Alex, if you could make your way up here. What I'd like to do for the next couple weeks through our communion talk, I'm a musical person. I don't know if you all know that by now. But I love music. I just, that is where I get just so much joy, is in listening to music, is in playing music, is in singing music. And we're not going to be singing as much as we normally would right now, which is kind of sad. But at the same time, we're going to be reading some songs that have really been, A, touching my heart, B, really mean something to our relationship with God, and C, just are real good to hear. And so I've been picking out a couple songs that, you know, between hymns and between modern songs that I really just am focusing on right now with just the words. And then I put the music to it. But first off, I just dwell in the words and see what God is saying to me through those words of these songs that people have written. And so for the next couple weeks, what we're going to be doing during this communion time is just looking at several songs. And so if you're like me and would hear this song talked about up here and then want to go home and listen to it, you know, if you want to write it down, scribble it down, what I'm about to say, then that's great. And so this week, we're actually going to be talking about the song called "O Come to the Altar." And so I listen to the Zoe Group a lot. And they sing this song. It's a cover of this song. And the words in it are just so powerful to me. So this says, "O come to the altar." So the first verse just starts out. And it says, "Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling." And it goes into this chorus, this beautiful chorus that says, "O come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was brought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ." And so God is inviting us to come to Him because His arms are open for us. And so the second verse, it says, "Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today. There's no reason to wait." And that really gets me every time that I hear that. There's no reason to wait. You know, anytime that Jesus calls somebody, they say, they drop everything and go. Actually, in Exodus, when Moses is walking by the burning bush and God calls out, "Moses, Moses," Moses says, "Here I am, here am I." And so immediately, and so why do I choose to wait? Why do I not come today? Because there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. "Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. O come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ." And it goes into this bridge. And the bridge just says, they cry out,
Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing alleluia. Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing alleluia. Christ is risen. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so it takes me to this passage in Matthew chapter 11. And Jesus says in verse 28, he says, come to me, all who labor and have heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Today, I just encourage you during this time of communion, if you have those worries, if you feel broken, as we take this bread and cup that represents the blood that was shed and Jesus dying on the cross for us, think of that. Why are we heavy laden? What worries do we have? Why are you overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Why do you wait, but come today? Because the Father's arms are open wide for you. And so before I pray over this, I want to do a demonstration again like I did earlier. So there's this little clear film above with the bread. So you just lift the film back. That one you're fine with, like, kind of destroying. And then you'll have your bread. And when you come to the cup, be very careful. If you squeeze, it might go everywhere. So you just, like, little crease it. And then slowly open it so that it doesn't get all over you. But yeah, so there. Oh, I did it. Oh, and I got a little on my fingernail, but that's okay. All right, so we're going to pray over this communion together. And just think of those. What do you worry about? Why are you heavy laden? Come to the altar. God, we come before your throne, humbled to be in your presence. Lord, we just come to you now, knowing that your arms are open wide. We may feel overwhelmed, God. We may feel like we want to wait, but we shouldn't. Lord, but we know that you are always there and always with us and always will be. We come to the altar today, for your arms are here with us. They are open wide to receive us. And as we take this communion together, we know that you sent your Son, your only Son, to die on that cross to take away our sins. God, we thank you for that. We just pray that we're able to remember that as we take this bread together. We pray all of these things in your precious and holy name. Amen. And at this point, you can take your mask off or move it around a little bit. Let's go ahead and continue this prayer over the blood that was shed, over this juice. God, we continue this prayer to you during this time of communion together, thanking you again for the sacrifice that was made on that cross that day. God, as we take this cup that represents the blood that was shed, I can't imagine what was being felt. I'm overwhelmed just by thinking of that. But God, you took that on. And we thank you for that. We are blessed beyond measures, blessed beyond comprehension. We just love you and we pray all of these things to you as we take this cup, which represents the blood that was shed. It's in your precious and holy name that we pray. And amen. We do have trash cans in the back as you leave if you want to discard your cup back there. If not, you can leave it on the chairs and we'll go around and collect them. At this time, normally we would, you know, pass around the collection plate for offering. And so I still want to bless that and acknowledge that. But we actually have the offering back on a back table back there. Back. Table back there for you to drop out as you leave. We also encourage the online giving that we have through CCB. And if you need to get that set up, get with us and let us know. And so I'm going to go ahead and pray for the offering, pray that it blesses our church and our community here. And then Pete's going to actually play a song, because as Stephen said earlier, we want to honor those of you who don't feel comfortable enough yet to sing with us, because we're about to go into our singing. And so we want to honor you and respect, take that time to allow you to get up and, you know, say your goodbyes to Stephen, and, well, not say your goodbyes, that sounds weird. Say goodbye to Stephen on your way out, and the elders. So I'll pray over the offering. We'll have a time where one song goes over. That way you can, you know, not leave in silence, because that would be awkward for you, I know. I'm looking for those smiling eyes, everybody. I'm trying to be funny. There we go. Okay, I heard some laughter behind the masks. Anyway, and then we'll go into a time where we'll sing a few songs together, and then I'll close us out in a prayer. So let's go ahead and pray over the offering. God, we come before you again. We thank you for all of the many blessings that you give to us. God, we thank you for the gift of laughter as we get to cherish that together, this gift of community where we get to come together again and worship you. God, I pray that our praises that are about to be sung are just meaningful, and we realize the words behind the notes that were being sung to you. And God, I pray over the offering for the church. I pray for the many blessings that the church has here, and the many blessings of the people that we have. God, I pray for the offering that we are able to give back to this community as you have richly given to us. We pray all of these many blessings in your name, and amen.
You gotta take the Lord with you, everywhere you go. You gotta take the Lord with you, everywhere you go. You've gotta take the Lord with you, everywhere you go. In the street,
in the street,
in the home,
in the home,
on the job,
on the job,
all alone,
all alone.
Highways,
highways,
byways,
byways,
highways,
highways,
byways,
byways.
You gotta love,
love
one another,
everywhere you go.
You've gotta love,
love
one another, everywhere you go. You've got to love,
love
one another,
children,
everywhere you go. In the street,
in the street,
in the home,
in the home,
on the job,
on the job,
all alone,
all alone.
Highways,
highways,
byways,
byways,
highways,
highways,
byways,
byways.
You've gotta praise the Lord daily,
children,
everywhere you go. You've gotta
praise
the Lord daily,
children,
everywhere you go. You've gotta
praise
the Lord daily,
children,
everywhere you go. In the street,
in the street,
in the home,
in the home,
on the job,
on the job,
all alone,
all alone.
Highways,
highways,
byways,
highways,
byways,
byways.
In the street,
in the street,
in the home,
in the home,
on the job,
on the job,
all alone,
all alone.
Highways,
highways,
byways,
byways,
highways,
highways,
byways,
byways.
take the Lord with you.